Thank you, Todd. Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Happy Mother's Day to you non-mothers, too. We celebrate, too, right? Great to be with you today and to have this opportunity to look together into God's Word. Moms. Don't you want to be the mother of a child who is known for great strength? Mother of a child who is recognized by others to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Don't you want to be the mother of a child or children in whose lives are visible evidence of a separation to God? We're going to talk about such a mother this morning. We find her story in Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Yes, here we go. Four chapters in one morning. You think we can't do four verses in one morning, Mark? What are you trying to do here? Well, we'll just see how it goes. But this morning, we're going to be talking about Samson's mother. Samson's mother. You likely know Samson. You may or may not know about his mother. Her name is not given to us in the Bible. Samson's father was named Manoah, and so she was named as Manoah's wife. And I think that as we consider together Samson's mother this morning, and we briefly look at these four chapters in the book of Judges, I think that all of the moms here are going to be able to relate at some level to her and to what she experienced and to her example. And particularly, we want to think about six brief lessons for mothers from the mother of a very strong child. I don't think anybody will doubt that her child was a strong child. He also, some of you say, well, you know, my child's strong, strong-willed. I mean, you got a strong-willed child, you say an amen. I see some heads nodding out there. Samson's mother knew what it was to raise a strong-willed child, as well as a physically strong child. And of course, your desire as mothers, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior particularly, and even if you don't, it may be that you want a child who is strong spiritually, who is strong with God. So we're going to look this morning at these six lessons that we see in the life of Samson's mother. So here we go. There's the strong. That's me. No, not really. I was not, my muscle wasn't that big at that age, so that wasn't really me, but that's the picture there, right, Mom? You want that strong child, that strong boy, that strong girl, as you're seeking to raise your children. So let's see what we can learn from Samson's mother. First of all, we want to see that Samson's mother listened to divine child-rearing instruction. She listened to divine child-rearing instruction, and we see that in chapter 13. And we're not going to be able to read, obviously, all four of these chapters, but some from selected passages. We will read these first five verses here that go along with this first lesson. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. I'll just pause there very quickly. A little context for what we're dealing with here in the life of this family, particularly this mother, the mother of Samson. We see that as a result of the disobedience of the people of God, the nation of Israel, that they had been placed under the oppression of the Philistines. Those who were living in the southwest corner, as it were, of the land of Israel, and they were under the oppression of these warlike people for 40 years. 40 years. Let's continue on. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and had no children. She was barren and she had no children. I had to scratch my head just a little bit thinking about that. And I thought, well, you know, she was barren. That means that she couldn't have a child then. But neither had she had any children in the past. She'd never celebrated a Mother's Day as a mother. Of course, they didn't have Mother's Day back then, probably. But in that culture particularly, there was a great emphasis placed on birthing and raising children. I want to mention one other thing about the context here, and we find, you don't have to turn there, but in Judges 17, right beyond where we're going to get to in our study this morning, Judges 17, verse 6, gives us a big picture, and it's repeated at the end of the book of Judges, of this whole period of time in the history of Israel before kings started reigning, and God would raise up judges to help direct them. Here's what it says in Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So that's the context. That's the period of time in which Samson's mother was seeking to mother this strong child. So let's continue on in our reading, verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So a couple of things that may require some explaining there. First of all, we see that this child in verse 5 is going to be a Nazarite to God from the womb. Now, a Nazarite, and you can go back to the book of Numbers in chapter 6 in the law that was given to the nation of Israel, and you can learn about a Nazarite. And this was a person who normally made the decision on their own when they were older that they would be a Nazarite unto the Lord. They would be separated unto God, and that was marked by several things. One, that they would not partake of anything of the vine. They would not eat grapes or raisins. I love raisins. I'd have a hard time being a Nazarite, but I could do away with them if I needed to. They couldn't drink wine. They couldn't drink grape juice. Neither could they ever cut their hair. And then the third thing, they couldn't touch a dead body. They would be defiled. These were three things that marked them out outwardly as someone who was devoted fully to God. And Samson's mother was told that she was going to conceive. It was going to be a miracle because she had never been able to have a child and was barren at that very time. But the angel of the Lord said, "But you will conceive, and you will bear a son, and he's going to be a Nazarite from the womb. Even while he's in your womb, he is going to be separated fully to God." So she got a little prenatal counseling. You ladies, now the 95 and the 93 and the 90-year-old ladies, I'm not sure what kind of prenatal information you receive, probably from your mother and from other ladies in the community. But today, prenatal, that's very important. What you eat and what you don't eat, what substances you don't partake of, and how you take care of yourself, because you want to take care of that little baby in your womb that he or she will be healthy when born. Well, Samson's mother got some very serious prenatal instruction regarding the way that she should function while she was pregnant and then even after the baby was born. And notice in verse 4 that she's told to be careful. "Now, therefore, please be careful." Wow, moms, what a lesson right there, huh? Please be careful. he was going to be a Nazarite. Well, we don't want to jump over the first part of verse 3 because that's very important too, and important to our point here. It was the angel of the Lord, you read there in verse 3 of Judges chapter 13. And if you follow the angel of the Lord throughout the Old Testament, you find out that this angel was not just an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. And not only an angel, but this angel is deity. We find that from the way that people react to the angel and what they say. We find that by the things that the angel says regarding himself, that the authority that he takes. This was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming down before he was ever born there at Bethlehem and presenting God in a human form. Now we know that the Holy Spirit is a spirit. He cannot be seen. God the Father said that no one had ever seen him nor ever would see him physically, but the Son, who would come to the earth, and we read about that in the New Testament, but it's prophesied in the Old Testament. But here, one of his appearances to human beings in a form of a person. We're going to see that she thought he was a man. She knew he was a very special man. She knew there was something amazing about him. She sensed that he was from God, but she didn't understand at that time that she was looking at God, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. What a blessing. We come this morning and we've been singing about the Lord Jesus. You know, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, we would not be gathered here this morning. We're gathered together this morning not in the name of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, not in the name of a doctrine, not in the name of a leader, not in the name of any mere human being. We are gathered together in this place this morning in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A God who not only made appearances in human form in the Old Testament, but became a human being and yet always was God. And lived a life of perfection upon this earth, qualifying himself to go to the cross of Calvary and to die on that cross. Not as a martyr, but as a willing sacrifice to fulfill all of the offerings offered in the Old Testament, all of the sacrifices, all of the animals that were slaughtered down through the years whose blood was spilled. He came and said, I'm the Lamb. And he gave his life that our sins could be placed upon him on that cross, that he could be forsaken, that we might be brought into a relationship with God. And when we come to that point of realizing it's my sin that's the problem. There's a man, he's going to be, this coming Friday, he's going to be 80 years old. He normally would be sitting right back, probably the second to the back row, right over in this corner here, Jack Parker. And Friday I got to sit down with him and he said, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. 79, almost 80 years old. And again, going over the plan of salvation, he prayed and asked God to save him and to forgive him of his sins. He was made a new creation at almost 80 years of age. And that's what God does through his Son, the Lord Jesus. All who will admit that we are sinners and that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior and place our faith and trust in him, the very one who appeared that day before Samson's mother, before he was even conceived. You know, there's an equivalent for you moms today. You know me, if you know me, you know that I'm not telling you to go hang out and wait till an angel comes and appears and tells you what to do about how to raise your children. No, we have the Word of God, and many of us have one here with us today. Probably all of us own one. We all have access through the internet if you don't even have a written copy of the Bible. You see, moms, God has given us His Word. Direct instruction from God is available today, too. not through an angel, not through an actual physical appearance of the Lord Jesus, but through God's Word, the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tell us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and literally that's the person of God, the person, not just the man or the woman of God. In the Greek, the word is used for humanity, human beings. Sometimes God makes the distinction when he's got a point he wants to make about male and female. Here, it's that the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know any better work, moms, than investing in your children. I don't know any better work. And God says that it's through His Word that you can receive and listen to that divine instruction regarding raising your child. There are so many resources today, and I praise God for them. There's so many gadgets. I mean, just in the time that that our children are now having children, I'm looking and saying, who in the world came up with this idea? This is amazing. They didn't have this stuff. And my parents had even less. And their parents, you go on back, they didn't have all the gadgets. But you know what? We have the Word of God. No matter how many gadgets you have or don't have, we have specific instructions, Mom, right here, how to raise your children. And we have a lot of general principles, too. It's not just, well, how I'm going to go find all the passages that tell me how to raise my children. No, we need to be in the Word of God. Moms, dads, all of us need to be in the Word of God, learning the principles of Scripture, because all of those principles, all of the truths of God's Word are practical for investing in the life of your children. Some of you may be getting ready to have a baby. Some of you are. Prenatal care. What's your baby hearing while in the womb? Studies have shown, moms can testify, my wife can testify, the children in the womb, they hear what you're saying. They sense your tone and your words. They obviously don't understand what you're saying, but they're learning. They're experiencing. What is your child hearing? What is the music your child is hearing in the womb? What's it about? What does your child hear talked about? And even after they're born. After they're born. You know what? She listened to divine child-rearing instruction. So should you, Mom. So should you. In order to raise a spiritually strong child, be careful. Listen to God's challenge to Samson's mother. Be careful. Be careful to listen and heed divine instruction in the Word of God. I encourage you to take advantage of good godly counsel, good Christian books that bring forth the Scripture, but don't ever get away from God's direct instruction to you. Samson's mother got that, and so do you. Samson's mother not only listened to divine child-rearing instruction, but Samson's mother also chose to be a team parent. Chose to be a team parent. We're going to go down and we're just going to read one verse right here. We got a big section, but time's moving along quickly. Notice verse 6. So the woman came and told her husband. Now, I want you to go in later. You can go and you can read the whole story and be reminded and make some application here. The woman came and told her husband. I've never carried a baby inside of me, and I never will. Guys, you never will either. But moms, you've all done that. Now, there could be an adoptive child. And I praise God for those who have adopted children. And I encourage that. But in a general manner of speaking, you moms have carried within your body a child for close to 9 months. Some less, some more. Normally, you spent the early part of that child's life with the child probably more than his or her father. And you know what, moms? There's the temptation for mothers to just take control of the child rearing. But notice what she did. When she got this prenatal information, the first thing she did, she came and told her husband. Down in verses 9 and 10, we read that she, when the angel of the Lord came back, she ran in haste and told her husband. I have just a quick bit of counsel from the scripture for you moms. Run to your husband. Run to your husband. And I understand that that's not always possible. I recognize that that's not always practical. But I want to encourage you to run to your husband. You see, you're to work together as a team. You're to work together as a team. And let me tell you something, ladies, and again, I know that every situation is different, and I've talked to many women and couples in different circumstances. I understand that. But biblically, this woman did what was the right thing. You see, your husband is the captain of the team. Some of us may be pretty sorry captains, okay? And at certain times, we may be embarrassingly pitiful captains. But that's God's plan. You watch a sports team, and sometimes you hear the coach in an interview, and the coach says, you know, this point guard, he's my coach on the floor. Or that inside linebacker, he's my coach on the field. And you know what? We would say that the Lord Jesus is the coach, right? He calls the plays. He tells us what we're to do. But the dad is to be the captain. I know this isn't a Father's Day message, but we see the example here. You know, there are strengths and there are weaknesses for every mom, for every dad. And God would have you moms to look to your husband and to find his strengths and to encourage him and to be gracious with his weaknesses. You know, down in verse 22, look what happened after the second time the angel of the Lord comes. She runs to get her husband and they come back together and they talk to the angel of the Lord. And then it's really amazing. The angel of the Lord accepts a sacrifice from them. And as the flame goes up, the angel of the Lord goes up in the flame. You want to see some special effects? Just read those verses. And look what in verse 22, and Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." I think you knew Exodus 33:20. A guy said, "No man shall see me and live." Because he didn't have the understanding that he was seeing God the Son. But you know, I appreciate his wife's spiritual insight. Moms, your husband, the father of your children, needs your spiritual insight. I need my wife's spiritual insight. And look at what she said. I appreciate this so much. But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." And that was a spiritually wise woman. She couldn't explain it all, but she stood back and said, if God was going to kill us for seeing him, he would have done that the moment we saw him. But instead, he accepted an offering from us. Instead, he showed us these things about this child, and he told us things. You know, husbands, dads, God is speaking to your wife, to the mother of your children through the Bible. If she's in the scripture, God is speaking to her. Be sensitive to her spiritual insight. She chose to be a team parent. A mom, so should you. So should you. You should choose to be a team parent. Here's my encouragement. Choose now to be a team player in parenting, recognizing your husband as team captain. Again, I know that there are situations that I'm not specifically addressing here, but this is the teaching of God's Word. Choose now to be a team player in parenting, recognizing your husband as team captain. Very quickly, just look down at verses 24 and 25. We segue to the next section. So the woman bore a son. Wow. You've been there, moms. You've been there either having a cesarean or given natural birth. And you've been there. Kind of summed it up a little pretty simply there, didn't it? The woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Oh, you know that Samson's mother, she appreciated what God was doing. Her son was born, he was healthy, she named him Samson. She saw him grow, she saw the Lord blessing him, verse 25, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahana Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. God was working in the life of this boy, of this young man. We're going to move ahead here. Samson's mother, we've already seen two. Here's the third lesson. We've got to really pick up the pace. Here's the third thing we see in her. She expressed concern for her child's spiritual health. She expressed concern for her child's spiritual health. She had seen God working in the life of her child. She had seen God blessing her child. You know, all you moms, you have had, and you even still do have, concern for the health and the safety and the well-being of your child. Ms. Singer, 95, right? Her daughter's sitting right beside her. She still is concerned about her daughter and her health. Her daughter had some eye surgery this week. She's still concerned. You're always concerned about your children. Moms, I understand that. You know, the Israelites were to be a separated people. Leviticus 20, 26, God said to the Israelites, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." There was that sense of separation. That for us today, we would say from the New Testament, we're in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. We're separated to God. You know, it's interesting, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, there was a warning that God gave through Moses to the people of Israel about marriage, about being careful who your child marries. "For they will turn your sons away from following me." This instruction had come to Manoah and his wife. And they understood that God desired that his people be separated unto him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" You see what happened here in the life of this young man. Chapter 14, verse 1. "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines." He saw, "She looks good. I think I want to marry this woman." That was Samson. Well, look at what his parents say in verse 3. "Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?'" Those who were not separated to God. His mom was concerned. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today the concern is not about interracial marriage. That's not the application of this passage. No, the application is what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A believer is not to marry an unbeliever. And that's the picture here. Samson was going after a woman. He wanted to marry her. And she didn't believe in the one true God. And his mom expressed her concern. She didn't just have a concern. She expressed a concern. I feel sure that as she was raising her son, I feel sure that she was teaching this truth. I had a brother recently tell me that when he came home after proposing to his girlfriend, when he got home, he told his dad what he had done. And he said, you know, it really struck me. My dad didn't ask me, does she know the Lord? He said, does she love the Lord? That's a good way for us as parents to think, isn't it? It's not enough. I mean, it is enough. You want them to marry a believer, but you know what? We want our children to marry believers who love the Lord. You know, there are people that are Christians that claim to follow God, and they don't really love the Lord Jesus. She was concerned. She was concerned. I could ask a lot of other questions here. Should his parents have refused to go get that woman? I don't have time to get into that now, but I want to encourage you moms, be proactive in addressing issues you see in your child's life. Speak the truth in love. As they grow up, be consistent in your own life. One of the hardest things is that consistency for us as adults. But you know what? If we tell them one thing and we do something else, if we say love the Lord Jesus and they don't see that in our lives, which way are they going to go? Not always. Not always. Samson had godly parents and he didn't go the right way with this. Others we find in the Bible, they had ungodly parents and we see them following the Lord and we see the reality today as well. But apply God's word and trust God. She expressed concern for her child's spiritual health. So should you, Mom. So should you. Can I encourage you this morning to be more concerned about your child's spiritual health than about any other area of their life? More so than their physical health, their emotional health, their mental health. More so than their education. More so than their involvement in sports. More so than their development of friendships. More so than their respect for adults. But all those things, of course, will tie in under this umbrella. But be more concerned about your child's spiritual health than about any other area of their life. Okay, here we go. Very quickly. Samson's mother experienced disappointment at some of her child's choices. We've already seen one here. He was wanting to marry this Philistine woman. It turned out to be a disaster. A disaster. And you can read about that in chapter 14 and chapter 15. You know what? I'm not going to tell the story here. We don't have time. But I just want to point out to you, and most of you, this isn't going to be a surprise, but some of you might say, hey, you talk about my kid? No child is perfect. No child is perfect. Not even your child. Not even your baby. Not perfection. You know, even the best of children are going to make poor decisions at times. Mama, quit saying amen over there. My mom just said amen when I said that. I don't think she might have been talking about my siblings. I don't know. You know, sometimes you're going to be disappointed in the decisions your children make. Sometimes you're going to be hurt. You're going to be frustrated. You're even going to be angry. And sometimes that anger is a righteous anger. But there must be that unconditional love. There must be the handling in an age-appropriate manner. There must be a handling, a responding with grace and truth. Never condoning sin. But always handling our children as God handles His children. God spanks His children. I got a spanking this week. It wasn't from my mother, it was from my Heavenly Father. Maybe you did too. She experienced disappointment at some of her child's choices, and so will you, Mom. So will you. Can I encourage you, whatever stage of life you're in, Mom, be prepared for your appointment with disappointment. It's coming. It's coming. For dads and moms, there's going to be a disappointment at times. Okay, two more quick ones here. The next one is, she suffered heartbreak at the loss of her child. Samson ended up in prison. That's hard for a mom. Samson ended up dying before his mother. That's hard for a mom. Some of you know right now what it means to lose a child. Some of you have lost a child to enslavement, to the world, or to the flesh. Some of your children even now are involved in destructive habits and unhealthy relationships, ungodly lifestyles, experiencing the natural consequences of unbiblical choices. Samson's mother knows what you feel like. Some of you have lost your child to death. Some of you have had a miscarriage. I know I'm looking in the faces of a lot of women this morning, moms. You've had a miscarriage, and that hurt. Some of you still hurt over that. I may be looking in the faces of some moms that have had an abortion, and you're hurting. You're hurting even now, maybe. Some of you have had a child leave you through an untimely death by accident or disease, and you hurt for that today. On Mother's Day, I met a man at our car wash yesterday from the community and tell me about his son that had died just about a year ago. He was in his 30s. And we prayed together, and I prayed particularly for this man's wife today, Mother's Day. Some of you are hurting. We go to God to handle the heartbreak. We believe, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, even our bad choices. Because your child is going to make bad choices, and you've made bad choices as a child and as an adult, and I have. But God says, I'll bring that together for good. I will comfort you and I will enable you to comfort other people. She suffered heartbreak at the loss of her child, and you might suffer too. And we want to hurt with you. Can I encourage you this morning that faith in God, faith in God's love, His wisdom, and His power can enable you to endure the heartbreak of loss. For our last passage, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament. We're going to close here very quickly. I apologize for these extra minutes, but I want to bring this to fulfillment here as we think about Samson's mother. And here's the last lesson. She had to wait for a true evaluation of her child's life. Now, we didn't have time to really go into her child's life. He really messed up. If you know the story, you know that's to be true. If you don't, I encourage you, read those chapters, 13 to 16. It's a heartbreak for a mother or a father. But I want you to notice she had to wait for a true evaluation of her child's life. Hebrews chapter 11. We would say that guy was a failure. A failure of a child. Started out with so much going for him. God working in his life, the Spirit of God moving on him, the outward evidence of separation to God, but look at all the bad choices he made and look at how he ended up. Did he fail? 20 years as a judge and he didn't fulfill the expectation of God. He died too young. But here we are in Hebrews chapter 11, God's hall of faith. And we read about in verse 4, by faith Abel, verse 5, by faith Enoch, verse 7, by faith Noah, verse 8, by faith Abraham, verse 11, by faith Sarah, verse 20, by faith Isaac, verse 21, by faith Jacob, verse 22, by faith Joseph. These are some pillars, men and women of God who by faith serve God, and their names are recorded in this hall of faith. Look at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson. Samson. His name's there in the hall of faith. His mom might have said, whoa, my son? My son's name is there? Mom, she had to wait for a true evaluation of her child's life. I want to encourage you, so do you. So do you. Now, Kim and I, we often thank the Lord for our children and how they're walking with the Lord. But you know, we know that's today. There's no guarantee for any of us about how we'll be walking tomorrow. So it goes both ways. But maybe this morning you're hurting because you have a child who is far from God, drifting away from your heart for God. You know what? Never give up hope for the redemption of your child's life. Never give up hope for the redemption that God can take and redeem a life that's messed up and that you're looking at and you see nothing good there. Don't give up hope. Keep praying. Keep praying. Samson's mother. Wow, the wonderful lessons that we see in her life. What a blessing to follow her story. Samson's mother. Moms, mothering a strong child requires being a spiritually strong mother. Let's pray for you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for our time together. It's been such a blessing to just be here and to praise you. Thank you for the songs that we're able to sing, the prayer that was offered up earlier. We thank you for the fellowship we've enjoyed. Thank you for your word. I thank you for these mothers, Lord. All of them, no matter what their age. From the one with the youngest baby to the one that's the oldest mom here today. Father, they all want to have strong children. Strong in faith. Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Father, strengthen them, please, by your grace today. Might they look to you. Might they lean on you. Might they be in your word. Might they follow hard after you for your glory and also for the sake of their dear, precious children. Father, we thank you. We love you. We commend ourselves to you. In the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I've already taken extra time. I apologize. So we're not going to have a closing number. You're dismissed. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you.